The following recording is copyright 2013, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
I'm sure we've all had the experience of daydreaming, fantasizing about amazing accomplishments. Young T-ball players fantasize about becoming professional athletes, setting new batting records, going to the World Series, their prowess evident to everyone. Success, success, success. The reality, however, is that even the best batters fail more often than they succeed. No one bats 1,000. If you bat 300, it's already really good. I'm sure that some of the cardinals who gathered in Rome last March to elect the next pope, probably some of them fantasized about being elected themselves. And that as pope, he would convert the whole world, solve all the world's problems, secure peace and justice for everyone. The glory of that papacy would be evident to everyone. Success, success, success. The reality is that even our greatest popes have had to deal with a great deal of unpleasantness. Pope Benedict XVI was one of the most brilliant theologians ever to be elected to the papacy. And yet he had to face one controversy after another. And now in Pope Francis, who we love already so much, the Lord has given us just the shepherd we need at this time in human history. His simplicity, his courage, and his evident pastoral zeal, his pastoral love, inspires even many non-Catholics. But now we have begun to hear harsh criticism of him from some people on one extreme of the spectrum who consider themselves more Catholic than the Pope, although in fact they don't even much act like Christians. For instance, when he washed the feet of that woman on Holy Thursday, they went into orbit. And a Muslim woman at that. All our recent popes have had to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to bear on contemporary issues that were controversial. And no matter what the Pope says or does, there's going to be some people who don't like it. But you know, the only one he really has to please is the Lord. And so the papacy is a much heavier cross than many of us imagine. Do you think all those trips and all those public appearances are a lot of fun? They're exhausting. And how about having no private life? And having to endure all those ugly things that some people say? In today's gospel, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And after a couple of other answers, Peter says, "You are the Christ of God." At which point, Jesus says not to tell this to anyone. Now, why did Jesus want to keep that quiet? It's the biggest news around. Why did he want them not to talk about it? The reason is that he knew everyone would misunderstand what that meant. Because he knew that they expected a military Messiah. They expected a Messiah who would be a glorious figure, gather a great army, throw out the Romans, and inaugurate a new era, a glorious era for Israel. He would be even more successful than the great King David. That's what they expected. The collective fantasy was that the Messiah would lead the people from success to even greater success, from glory to even greater glory. Jesus knew that the reality would be very different from what people fantasized. And so he began to teach them that the Messiah would not look glorious to the eyes of the people of this world. He would be embroiled in all kinds of controversy and would be rejected, tortured, and subjected to a gruesome, humiliating death. The opposite of what people expected. But you know, that's God's way. Humans want success, but what God wants is faithfulness. He could care less about success in the eyes of this world. The same should be true for us. This is why we have the sacrament of confirmation, in order to empower you to live your faith in a way that really does make a difference in your life and the life of others. To empower you to do the right thing and live as Jesus would want, especially when it's not easy to do so. Especially when you face temptation, or when you face peer pressure, or you face whatever other kind of trouble. Okay? And so if you are motivated by the values of this world, by the pursuit of personal success, pursuit of popularity and possessions, if that's what motivates you, you will lose your very self. But if you subordinate your will to that of God, which this sacrament empowers you to do, if you place your heart in the hands of God, if you do all in your power to get with his program, figure out what the Lord wants done, and then do it his way, you will face adversity. You may even face rejection, just like Jesus did. Okay, you know, Satan punishes those who don't do things Satan way. You know, gets after them, makes life difficult, maybe even suffer martyrdom. Okay? But ironically, in this way, by living for Christ, you find your very self. Because you're living up to the best that's in you. You're living up to what God, how God made you and what he wants for you. Okay. On the third day, once all of his suffering was over with, Jesus rises from the dead, vindicated, victorious. Okay. Evil did its worst, but it could do a lot of damage, but it could not prevail. If you die to this world, and if you lose yourself for Jesus' sake, seek to live his way, you will share in his victory. And you'll share in his victory not only in the world to come. You will already be living a life that is fully alive while still in this life. Because it will be a life lived for others.